ते वासुदेवाया ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाया ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाया रीडिंग फ्रॉम ग्रंथराज श्रीमद् भागवतम कैंटो 7 चैप्टर 9 टेक्स्ट 6 Chapter entitled Prahlad Pacifies the Lord with Prayers. Satat kara sparsa duta kila suba. Sapadi abhivyakta. Paratma-darshanai Tat-pāda-padmam hridi nirvṛto dadau Hrishyat-tanu-klina hridasru-lochanaha Sat Tat karasparsha dutha kila subha. Sapadi abhivyakta paratma darsana. Tat pada padmam hridi nirvritto dadau. Hrishyat-tanu-klinna hridasru-lochanaha. Mataji's, please. He, Prahlad Maharaj, Tatkara Sparsa, because of being touched on the head by the lotus hand of Nrsimhadev, Dutta, being cleansed, Akila, all, Asubha, inauspiciousness or material desires. Sapadi, immediately. Abhivyakta, manifested. Para Atma Darsana, realization of the Supreme Soul, spiritual knowledge. Tat Pada Padmam, Lord Narasimhadev's lotus feet. Hridi, within the core of the heart. Nirvrita, full of transcendental bliss. Dadau, captured. Hrishyatanu, having transcendental ecstatic bliss, manifested in the body. Klinahrit, whose heart was softened due to transcendental ecstasy. Asrulochana, with tears in his eyes. Translation purport by His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada Ki Jaya. Translation: by the touch of Lord Narasimhadev's hand on Prahlad Maharaj's head, Prahlad was completely freed from all material contaminations and desires, as if he had been thoroughly cleansed. Therefore, he at once became transcendentally situated, and all the symptoms of ecstasy became manifest in his body. His heart filled with love and his eyes with tears, and thus he was able to completely capture the lotus feet of the Lord within the core of his heart. Purport. As stated in Bhagavad Gita 14:26, Mam chayo vyabhicharyena bhakti yogena sevate sagunan samatite yaitan brahma bhuyaya kalpate. One who engages in full devotional service, who does not fall down in any circumstance, at once transcends the modes of material nature and thus comes to the level of Brahman. Elsewhere in the Bhagavad Gita 9:32, the Lord says, Mam hi partha vyapasritya yepi su papa yonaya striyo vaishyas tata sudras tepi yanti param gatim. O son of Pritha, those who take shelter in me, though they be of lower birth, women, vaishyas, merchants as well as sudras, workers, can approach the supreme destination. On the strength of these verses from Bhagavad Gita, it is evident that although Prahlad Maharaj was born in a demoniac family and although virtually demoniac blood flowed within his body, he was cleansed of all material bodily contamination because of his exalted position as a devotee. In other words, such impediments on the spiritual path could not stop him from progressing, for he was directly in touch with the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Those who are physically and mentally contaminated by atheism cannot be situated on the transcendental platform. But as soon as one is freed from material contamination, he is immediately fit to be situated in devotional service. Om Ajnana Timurandasya Gananjana Shalakaya Chakshurun Militamena Tasmai Sri Guru Vinuha Namo Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prasthaya Bhutle Shrimate Deva Amrita Swamini Tinamine Namo Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prasthaya Bhutle Shrimate Bhakti Vedanta Swamini Tinamine Namaste Saraswati Deve Gauravani Pracharine Nirvisesha Shunyavadi Paschatya Destarine Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Sivasadi Gaur Bhakta Vanda. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare. So, in this translation, Prabhupada explains how Prahlad's heart filled with love and his eyes with tears, and thus he was free from all contamination. So what we are reading about is love for Supreme Krishna Prema. It's not a mundane love, like everybody talks about love very cheaply. Everybody just throws it around. But here in this context, what we're reading about is very, very rare. It's like a couple of days ago, we had this holy festival, and there was this boy that came to my bookstall, and you know, he saw this painting of this cycle of birth and death, and he was kind of surprised and shocked. And he's like, "What is this?" I was explaining how, you know, we are spiritual beings, but at the moment we are stuck in the cycle of birth and death, but this process teaches us how to break free from the cycle. And immediately he started protesting. He said, "I don't want to break from the cycle. I want to stay in the cycle." I said, "What for?" So to find the thing, life after life, you know, like the thing we are searching for, and like some kind of vague explanation. I said, "Did you find it yet? What are we looking for? If you don't even know what we're looking for, what are the chances you're going to find it?" He said, "Yes, it's love. It's love that birth after birth, you know, we are evolving till we find it." I said, "Did you find it yet?" He said, "Yeah, I'm in love with this girl." I said, "Okay, so you're on the right path. Take one of these books and, you know, it'll complete it, you know. He'll connect all the dots." So in the name of, you know, unconditional love, everybody is basically talking about conditional lust. This is what's going on. There's so many songs written about broken hearts than anything else in the history. And this is mundane. My guru recently was, in his last trip when he was here, he was talking about this hormone oxytocin. Because time corrodes everything, time destroys everything. Whatever we feel initially, later on we feel uncomfortable with the same person. We initially, when people are in, you know, mundane relationship, you know, they feel like so close to each other. But then no matter who it is, how rich the person may be, how beautiful, how smart, later on we want some elbow space, you know, we feel so uncomfortable if somebody is like, you know, grabbing on to us all the time. So this is the situation. Time destroys everything. But we don't realize that. And there is this term nowadays, it's called the work spouse. Work spouse means, you know, this world is so crazy. It's going in such a way that you have to work a lot. Like Prabhupada would say, you know, foaming at the mouth, you got to work like an ass just to survive, just to pay bills. I mean, we're not against people working, that's not the point, but somehow or other people are working and they're actually spending more time at work than at home. Basically, people just go into a box, into an apartment just to, you know, watch some TV and sleep. So they're actually spending more time at work, and naturally when you're spending so much time at work, you develop some kind of like deep bonding with your colleagues, like with opposite sex, more than you do with your actual partner. So it's becoming a big problem. And this is, the society is designed in such a way that we have to do so many crazy things just to, you know, survive. We are so dependent on so many things. Everything is like interconnected. We're living in a city, if the, you know, garbage is not removed, or if there's an accident, you know, in the freeway, or if the sewage breaks down, you know, life becomes hell. So we want to be independent, but we are dependent on so many things. So this is what Prahlad Maharaj talks about, how material solutions to material problems actually creates more problems than the original problem. So we have no clue, we're just working hard and, you know, in some crazy relationships, somehow we're finding satisfaction. And we call this all kinds of fancy terms. There was this story of this affluent kids. There were this boy and girl from a really wealthy family, really nice looking and very intelligent, and they're like life of the party. Everybody talked about them. Everybody gave them compliment like this. And they went to this naval school, Navy. And this boy was really nice looking, wealthy, fancy car and everything. So one day he went somewhere to do some activity, outdoor activity, without his girlfriend. And then on the way back, he gave a lift to another girl that just needed a lift. And it was a 2-hour drive. And Kali Yuga, you know, doesn't take more than like half hour or 1 hour to fall down with a stranger. So 2 hours drive, naturally, you know, something happened. They engaged in some kind of Kali Yuga activity. And this boy came back and he was all like sorry looking, sad looking. And the girl asked, what happened? You went out and you're supposed to be like happy and fresh and relaxed. And then he revealed his mind, oh, this happened on the way. And this girl couldn't take it. She's like, no way. If you really love me, you have to kill her. And this boy is like, you know, this is an accident. What do you want me to do? It's like Subhuti Roy in the Chaitanya Leela, you know. So she's like, no, if you really love me, you have to kill her. And he's like, okay, what do you want me to do? And then they planned. And they planned that he again invite her for a date, and this boy drove into some desert. And they had one of these cars where you can come from the trunk into the car. And this girl was all like, you know, in fantasies and, you know, new romance and like this. And all of a sudden, this girlfriend comes from the trunk of the car and with a dumbbell, you know, smashes the head of the girl. And then also asks the guy to shoot her in the head, just to prove how much he loves her. So they finish her off and then just dispose the body. And nobody ever suspected these kids, because such, you know, intelligent, good-looking, wealthy kids, you know. And later on, you know, I think there is a curse in the Mahabharata where like the Matajis cannot keep secret, something like that. Later on, the girl is talking to a friend. And the friend explains how her boyfriend cheated on her. And this girl said, oh, you foolish woman, I would have never tolerated that. I didn't tolerate that when my boyfriend cheated on me. We killed that girl. And this girl is like laughing, saying, no, I'm serious. So this girl kind of spilled the beans that they killed somebody just boasting, because the boyfriend loves me so much that he would kill for me like this. And the other girl went and told somebody, and the news spread, and they did some research. And sure enough, there was a case unresolved that, you know, then they arrested both of them and threw them in the jail, like life sentence. So there is so many examples, you know, how on the bodily platform, you know, whatever we think we are doing, it's like Nunam Pramatta, Suraprabhu. Oh my God. Sura Prabhu is saying the girl that God killed was 15 years old. So this is what Rishabhdev says, is Nunam Pramata Kurute Vikarmo. In the name of happiness, in the name of pleasure, we do all kinds of crazy activities. There was this news where like a sister poured some harsh chemicals on the face of her sister just because she looks prettier than the other sister. There's so many things men also do, not to pick on the ladies, but this is the point, is, you know, when you're in the bodily concept, you do all kinds of crazy things. That's why it's explained how Prabhupada is given the highest to the lowest. Ajito pi jito tais trilokyam. It's explained in the Bhagavatam, 10th canto, Brahma explains how Krishna is actually unconquerable. But he become conquered by his devotee's love, by his devotee's bhakti. That's why Krishna, he explains that he is willing to give anything, bhukti, mukti, siddhi, whatever, you know, mystic powers, opulence, any material desire you have, Krishna can easily fulfill it. But bhakti, he doesn't give out so cheaply, because you can actually conquer Krishna through bhakti. So sometimes, you know, in ISKCON, when you say like, oh, you know, you're a bhakta, it's considered like a low level, you know. Why are you calling me a bhakta, you know? I'm already initiated. So bhakta is not an insult. It's like the greatest, you know, title you can have in the creation. Even Prahlad Maharaj is called as a bhakta, Bhakta Prahlad. It's like, I remember one of my god brothers, we were in Mayapur and he went to my guru and he asked permission to go to Jagannath Puri. And my guru said, actually, you know, you're a new bhakta, you know, when you go to Puri, you're not ready yet. So this boy was all upset with my guru, just because he's like, why is Guru Maharaj keep saying I'm a bhakta, I've been around for 3 years. I'm like, 3 years, what is that? You know, if the guru calls you something, you shouldn't be offended, you know, you should be like grateful. So sometimes we get offended. But even in this verse, we're reading how Prahlad Maharaj, it's explained how he became free from contamination as if he had any. It's explained just by touch of Narsingadev, his heart became cleansed and became free from contamination. Even they're talking about Prahlad Maharaj, this, what to speak of us? We've been here 3 years or, you know, 10 years, then nobody can tell you anything, what to speak of 15 years or 20 years. We have so much false ego. That's why I was telling one girl in the bookstall, she said, oh, I'm an atheist, but I guess I don't know anything, I'm willing to learn. I said, even though you're atheist, you're spiritual. She said, what do you mean? I said, because you're humble. You're willing to learn, therefore, you know, you have spirit, good qualities. Being spiritual is not about what you believe, it's how you behave. Even somebody says, I'm a Christian, or I'm this or that, but if they're so arrogant, then they're not spiritual. So pure devotional service is actually very rare. That's what this chapter is, and all the chapters are talking about in the Bhagavatam. Sudurlabha prasantatma kotishu api mahamune. Very, very rare. Sudurlabha. Very rare. And Prahlad Maharaj, as we know, he actually condemned approaching Krishna for anything except for pure devotion, except for devotional service. Even Krishna says the same thing in the Bhagavad Gita, kama istaista krita jnana prapadyantyani devata. If you approach Krishna for anything, or if you approach any of the demigods for any material desires, we consider less intelligent, because everything will be taken away at the time of death. It's no question. And we know this, and we still foolishly run after these things. As it's explained in the Mahabharata, the story of Mudgal Rishi. Long story short, it's explained how you could be a big god in the heavens, but then when your time runs out, your soul comes down to the material world through the rains, and then enters the grass, and then eaten by a cow, and get transformed into milk. And the milk is drunk by a male, and then it passes into the womb of a mother through the semen. And then, you know, you're a big, big god 1 minute, next minute you're lying down, you know, passing stool, wearing nappy, you know. So Prahlad Maharaj is condemning this kind of approach to Krishna. So pure devotion, that's the subject of the Bhagavatam. Everything else is kicked out. Dharma projita kaita vadra. Paramo nirmacharanam satam. Just like when you clean your closet or clean your room, so much dust and, you know, torn paper and this and that, you take a shovel and broom and sweep it out. Similarly, Bhagavatam is talking about this rare, pure devotion to Krishna. And Krishna says in the Bhagavad Gita, just to know Him, it's very rare. Manushyanam sahasreshu kaschid yatati siddhe, Krishna says. Etatam api siddhanam kaschin mamitita. Out of millions of souls that are aspiring for self-realization, hardly one will know me in truth, Krishna says. And to know Krishna is difficult, what to speak of loving Him. But we are so fortunate, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is appeared to give this Krishna prema, this love for God. Whoever wants it or whoever doesn't want it, still, it's like next week, we're celebrating Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's appearance day. It's a very, very special day. Vrindavan Das Thakur explains how there are two most important festivals for Krishna conscious devotees, Gaudiya Vaishnavas. One is Nityananda Trayodasi, another one is Gaura Purnima. And just by fasting on these days, Vrindavan Das Thakur says you will never enter a womb of a mother again. What to speak of all the other benefits you get, namely like love for Krishna. So whatever we see rarely in the pages of Bhagavatam, this, you know, Narsingadev embracing Prahlad Maharaj and giving him ecstatic love. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Narsingadev himself came in, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, and he was distributing this ecstatic love for God so freely. There were so many ways Mahaprabhu would distribute. If he sees somebody, Mahaprabhu would just embrace and request them to chant Hari, Hari. And immediately that person will be filled with ecstasies. And that person would go and embrace somebody else and, you know, it's contagious. And distribute love of Godhead like this. It's even explained how Mahaprabhu entered this Padma River and stored his ecstatic symptoms. And many, many years later, Narottam Das Thakur went to bathe in that Padma River, and immediately his complexion changed. He was filled with ecstasy. Pasu pakhi jure pasana vidare sunijara gunagata. Even the stone was melting when Mahaprabhu was singing and dancing. Even the animals, beasts and birds and deers and tigers were kissing each other and chanting Hare Krishna. So Mahaprabhu was so freely distributing. Like Gauda Chandra was explaining so nicely the other day, that even though, like, we see personalities like Prahlad Maharaj, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, and so many great examples are there, even though they, like Dhruva Maharaj, they all saw Krishna and they were experiencing ecstatic love for Krishna. Still they didn't forget the Guru. They always remembered the position as the servant. It's like Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. God himself, in the role of his devotee, would chant and immediately like he would experience these ecstatic symptoms. And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu would approach at least once and asked his guru, I'm feeling like this, I'm feeling like a madman. Is this normal? Is this bona fide? Immediately guru confirmed. Ishvara Puri. Yes, my child, you're so fortunate. You're experiencing these rare ecstatic symptoms of love for God. There's this pastime of Gauridas Pandit and Hrudaya Chaitanya. Gauridas Pandit wanted to celebrate this first Gaura Purnima, but he went out and his disciple Hrudaya Chaitanya was thinking, you know, the Gaura Purnima is fast approaching and Guru is out of town. I got to spread the word, otherwise how is the festival going to be grand? So Hrudaya Chaitanya spread the word, like, you know, sent invitations, invited people for, you know, Gaura Purnima and like this. And Gauridas Pandit came back, and when he found out Hrudaya Chaitanya was spreading the news about the festival, he got so upset. So what is this nonsense? Who asked you to do this? You're so impudent, you know, get out. So he kicked him out. And Hrudaya Chaitanya was not thinking, where is my guru? You know, it's like crazy. I was doing the right thing. Why is he upset? No, he just felt I'm so, you know, unsubmissive. So Hrudaya Chaitanya went and he was living in the bank of Ganges. And there was this really, really big, wealthy person, businessman approached him and saw Hrudaya Chaitanya and said, oh, I've been studying your devotion. You're such a great devotee and I wanted to offer you this large sum of money. And Hrudaya Chaitanya said, you know, I don't need money, you know, what will I do with it? But I can give it to my spiritual master if you like. He said, yeah, please do whatever you like. So he brought the Lakshmi to his guru, Gauridas Pandit, and said, Gurudeva, I'm sorry, I came back, I wanted to give you this Lakshmi. And Gauridas Pandit said, yes, I knew this money is coming, that's why I kicked you out. I wanted to go and bring it, so we can actually celebrate the festival. So, Vaishnavera Kriya Mudra Vakya Nabujaya, we cannot understand the activities, how a Vaishnava thinks, how, you know, he behaves. So we shouldn't be judgmental towards great souls. We should always be respectful, regardless of how elevated we are in Krishna consciousness. And serve Mahat Padam Rajobhishekam. Prahlad Maharaj said, Niskinchananam Navanita Yavad. The only way, Prahlad Maharaj said, if you will get love for Krishna is if you smear your body with the dust of the lotus feet of great devotees. There is, in Bhaktivedanta manner, Srila Prabhupada was walking around in the manor with the devotees, and there was this cat. This cat actually followed Prabhupada. And Prabhupada went and sat down in the lawn and the devotees tried to shoo away the cat, you know. Prabhupada said, no, let him come. So this cat came and laid down next to Prabhupada, near, you know, touching Prabhupada's feet. And the next day the devotees said to Prabhupada, Prabhupada, this cat is dead. And Prabhupada said, yes, he was a great yogi in his last life, but he just needed a little dust from my feet to attain liberation. So we don't know who is who, but, you know, but just by getting a little dust from the Vaishnava's feet, our life can be perfect. We can avoid offenses and chant Hare Krishna. Then, by the mercy of Lord Chaitanya and Prabhupada, we can actually experience these ecstatic symptoms. Like I was listening to the memories of Radhanath Maharaj speaking about Bhakti Tirtha Swami. And we can see in our ISKCON, in this like recent times, so many devotees are leaving their bodies like great yogis and, you know, great personalities from the Bhagavatam, reading Chaitanya Charitamrita, even though the body is like wrecked with pain, no painkiller is working, and feeling ecstatic symptoms, crying. You know, Prabhupada is so grateful. We didn't go to Prabhupada, Prabhupada came to us. And that shows how special, compassionate personality is. So by serving Him, He's not going to neglect us. We will surely get the mercy. So any comments or questions we can discuss? Amala Bhakta Prabhu, you have anything to? Thank you, Prabhu. Karuna Mataji. Can you give, Anthony, can you give the mic to this Mataji, please? For the people on the internet. Sometimes I'm listening on the internet and then when the question answer come, I'm like, why don't they speak in the microphone?
You're telling the story about Prabhupada in England about the cat. It just reminded me that there is a story like that here in Prabhupada's garden. You may know it, where Rita Nand Maharaj was with Prabhupada and a couple of kittens somehow got in the garden and they were rolling around and they rolled right onto Prabhupada's lap. And they were playing there, and Rina Namarish and the other devotees were, oh, get them off, get them off. And Prabhupada said, no, no. And so they were playing there, and Prabhupada eventually said, this is the greatest of all sin. And they said, what do you mean? And he said, the greatest of all sin is that I give you shelter, and then I slit your throat. And it's like that we give some affection or shelter to some creature and then kill it.
Thank you, Prabhu. You were mentioning that even right now in our times, many devotees are exhibiting symptoms of deep absorption in Krishna consciousness. I had just an experience of visiting a devotee who we know, Lochan Prabhu. He was at the hospital, and when we arrived there with Vanavata Prabhu and my wife, and he was like almost semi-unconscious, you know, like either sleeping, but he was moving his feet, and we were there talking, but he would not. We didn't want to disturb him. And I would get closer to smell some jasmine, prasadam flower close to his nose. And eventually after like maybe like 30 minutes, he just opened his eyes. And then we, you know, talked to him a little bit. And as soon as he saw us, he just started speaking about stories from the Bhagavatam. Maybe like 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, like 6 without stop. In a very, you know, not very fluently because he was still like tired. But I could see that the stories were accurate and to the point. And I was just realizing how wonderful it is when you're in Krishna consciousness, absorbed, reading the books, doing service for the devotees. And he, as we know, he does this... He provided us all the gilams all the time. And I was just happy to be there to witness that if your mind is in Krishna consciousness, no impediments. And thank you. Thank you for nice class.
Thank you so much. Granthara Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai, Srila Prabhupada ki jai.